Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was there a spirit that made it nearly impossible to sleep in a home night after night?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get on all of the extras and help keep our program on the air. We could not do this without you. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Happy day.
Happy day to you too. Happy last hot summer day.
Yeah. Last week we were talking about some video that you had filmed in a location underneath a building or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you had told me that you saw shadows and all that under there. And
yeah.
I was surprised that I had not seen it. You finally sent it to me a few days ago. Mm-hmm. That was some freaky stuff.
Wasn't it?
That was really good stuff.
I know. It was just completely, you know, just caught on a whim. And I have no way to explain what that was other than it was shadow people or shadow something. Because where those shadows occurred, there was nothing there to cause those shadows.
Well, and I'm always a big skeptic, so I'm thinking I'm going to get this stuff and I'll see where maybe it was a car that drove past or, you know, the sun hit some clouds and it was not like that at all. Like this was like just prime. I don't know. When you're doing investigation, you find something like that, that blows your mind. That's some good stuff.
Thank you. I didn't know like what to make of it. You know, was this rare? Was this really good? But it's kind of cool to hear from someone who does more of this than I do in terms of investigating what your thoughts are, because it shot directly into a crawl space. There's no light down there other than the little bit that's coming through. But I don't know what the hell it was. We actually went there again last week. Me and Harper had a little picnic dinner in that area. And so we had our sub sandwiches and then we walked around and played with some of the ghost apps on my phone. I didn't bring any equipment with me, but I did get a couple weird things. The words that came out, what's the app I've been using here? Ghost Detector is one of the apps. And it's actually one that was made by, I forget who, but there's a few of them out there that you can kind of consider to be fairly okay in terms of using for investigating. This one's not necessarily for, you know, amusement purposes like ghost. What's the other one? The ghost radar or whatever it is.
Right.
This works like the, is it the Ovilus?
Yep.
Where it does the words. That's all it does. And I was just walking around and I was just saying, hey, you know, I'm here in peace. I'm just curious if there's anybody around and what can you tell me about this land that I'm walking on? What do you think about this area and what's going on here? Because this is a battlefield where 3,000 people died in the Civil War. The words that come across, survival, complain, cross, and mutilate.
Ooh.
Yeah. In that row, or in that order.
That's just some good stuff. And I love the fact that you can go there and kind of hang out, you know?
I mean, and other places, I've done it, because it's not like all this thing just give you like a bunch of, you know, dramatic words. The other ones are like, this is a completely different place in time. Face, sweep, take, interfere, anonymous, speak, brother, fold. Nothing, you know, those I were taking as just kind of generic words that were coming across. But these really seem pertinent to that location. And this was right outside where I took that video.
That video was so good. Like in maybe in the years that I've been doing investigating, which is maybe about, 15 years or so, maybe closer to 20, if I think about it. Every once in a while, you get a shadow situation. Mm-hmm. And when you get those are pretty darn rare. It's not something that happens an awful lot. And you get really good at finding reasons to explain that stuff away. It could be a light anomaly by something else, you know.
Sure.
It's a camera fluctuation or whatever. But these were so clear, and I actually shared it with a friend of mine, and she was like, I'm like, so what do you think of these? And I waited for a response and waited for a response and waited for a response. And I said, well, what do you think? And she said, I thought you were joking. I'm like, no, what do you think? She goes, these are real? I'm like, yes. And I told her who they were from and all that kind of stuff. Blew her mind.
No
so
kidding.
They were like, I'm glad that you sent them to me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the suspense paid off in the end with something spectacular.
Wow. That's really neat to hear. That was it Lisa?
Yeah.
Was it Lisa that you shared them with?
No, it was actually Sandy, my other ghost hunting friend.
Okay,
so
cool.
It was perfect.
Yeah. No, wow. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it was just funny because it's like we were just out for a day at a walk and taking a video, and that's how we got it. It wasn't a big setup investigation or anything like that. But is it sometimes do you think you get better results that way when it's just kind of spur of the moment versus all being set up and really seeking it out?
That stuff's going to happen when it happens. Yep. And I think our energy, and we talked about this last time, our energy sometimes, I think, helps get things going. And sometimes you even mentioned we haunt ourselves, meaning we make mm-hmm. things happen. But I think it's for me, it's always mind-blowing when it happens and you're not expecting it.
Yep.
I just, you know, throw a camera in there, see what happens, and all of a sudden you get something.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's cool.
You don't have to be on a quote-unquote investigation to get something.
No.
You can just be, it's like, I'm just curious. Let's see what happens, and then let's go have another sub sandwich. There you go. And that's how you get ghosts. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter says, hey, everybody, I've been listening to the show now for probably about 2 years. Really enjoy the shows and wanted to tell you one of my stories as they helped me with the passing of my beloved wiener dog Biscuit. He passed away in February of 2020 in our house, and I sometimes feel him here, and I know I'm not crazy because of these podcasts. This happened my sophomore year of college. I was in summer, and I had just moved into a new studio apartment in Hayes, Kansas. Upon moving into that apartment, I had a digital alarm clock that I had plugged in across the room from my bed, which was one that would fold down from the wall. Whenever I did not have to wake up early for work, I would set my alarm. You know, the typical young college kid. My alarm would start going off at 7 a.m. every morning, and I would think, well, that's not right. Ended up eventually canceling both alarm settings because it kept happening. But then it went off again. So I eventually just turned the whole clock off. When it happened again, I just unplugged the thing, thinking there was a short in it. One morning, I experienced a horrible nightmare and sleep paralysis. I was suffering from insomnia, which also developed as soon as I moved into that apartment. When I was finally able to claw myself awake and be able to move, I heard that damn alarm go off again. I looked across the room and saw a white figure in the corner next to my clock. I got the impression it was a woman, but there were not really any distinct features. I felt a sense of terror go through me and I froze. The figure disappeared and the alarm stopped. After that, I took the clock and threw it away, even though it was a high school graduation present from my boyfriend, who is now my husband. I lived there the whole summer, and the insomnia continued. I was never comfortable sleeping there and only went to sleep with exhaustion. Forced me to sleep. My dreams were horrible all summer also. I had my Sheltie Zippy living with me after a while, and she would sometimes growl and stare at the corner. But the figure never materialized again. After summer was over and the new semester was about to start, my boyfriend moved into his own apartment, started staying over there often. Sometimes he would come over and stay at mine, but this rarely happened as he was uncomfortable there. After a while, I just stayed permanently at his house, even when he was out of town. The insomnia went away, and I began to function normal again almost immediately after moving out. I never saw that figure again, and I have never had alarm clocks go off when they should not ever again. I also have some other stories about apartments in Hayes, Kansas. In my first place, my boyfriend, now husband, got together, and I would be home alone and randomly hear a male voice talk to me. I turn around in surprise because I knew I was home alone. Nobody was there and the TV was not even on. The other apartment more affected our daughter, who was just over a year when we lived there. We moved into the apartment and she would She went from being the most perfect sleeper to waking up crying multiple times a night. She'd not go to sleep for bedtime without me spending hours with her reading books, nursing, and playing music. One night, I'll never forget, she started crying. I could hear the terror in her voice that I had never heard before in my life. I went into her room and started rocking her, and she kept staring into the corner by the door. I could not see anything, but I could see the fear in her eyes as she kept looking in that direction. I started singing her songs, and she eventually calmed down and went back to sleep. She also got sick all the time in the apartment. It was always some sort of ear infection or something else. One night after being perfectly fine during the day and going to sleep, she came into our room. I took her back to bed. I was standing by her bed till she went back to sleep when suddenly her eyes rolled back in her head. I started shaking her and calling her name, which quickly escalated to screaming. My husband called 911 and she eventually came out of it and started crying. We found out she had a seizure brought on by a sudden spike in temperature. She apparently had bronchitis. We finally moved out of that town and moved to Lawrence, Kansas. Immediately, she started sleeping like normal again. The only behavior left over from this is, to this day, she must have music playing in her room at night. Other things have gone on with her as well, but I'll save those for another time. We now live in our own home in Shawnee, Kansas, a suburb of Kansas City. I've had a few things happen here. Sometimes I hear my name called or be touched on the shoulder. My kids, which they're now 4, also hear their names called frequently. The oddest thing happened recently. I was lying in bed one morning looking at the news on my phone, and I felt the bed depressed like someone was pushing down on it, and I assumed it was a kid. I waited for someone to say mama, but I did not hear anything. I just kept feeling the bed move like someone was pushing down on it or a dog was walking on it. When I turned around, there was nobody there, no kids or dogs. Thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. And Casey, could you please play Somewhere Out There? It would mean a lot. Here's your long
Here's
distance
your long,
dedication. Somewhere.
Oh, God.
When I was talking about the dogs at the beginning, it was, of course, what came to my mind was Casey Kasem. Whether you have kids or pets or neither, the outtake reel of Casey Kasem.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts on the story?
Great story. The Casey thing just blew my mind. I was going to go into my whole thing. It almost sounds like something's following them as a family because, or they're open to stuff, but you know, they had 2 apartments, both trouble. They moved into this house. Sounds like something's there now. And it's just very odd to me that unless you're really open to it and really open to experiencing stuff everywhere you're at, she specifically chose these 2 locations and the house where she lived. It almost sounds like something is following them to a certain extent. So that's a little scary. And if she, you know, if she doesn't practice protection and cleansing and stuff like that, I think it'd be really good for her to try doing that. Find somebody to get some classes off and consider doing that, not only for herself, but certainly for her kids to make sure everybody's protected. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have experiences, but just to make sure that it's a safe situation.
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting because when something like that happens, it makes me wonder, is this someone who's being followed by something or is this someone who's just sensitive to things wherever they're going to be, no matter what? And in some places it's going to be heavier than others because some places just have more activity than others.
Right. The only reason I wonder if it's a following, now she may have other stories of stuff that happened where she was not living, but these were specific locations where she lived. Mm-hmm. And so then I start thinking, well, maybe this thing is hanging out in her house. And when she moves, it goes with her or eventually finds her again. Sure. The whole clock thing, when you unplug a clock, if that alarm's going off, get rid of the clock immediately. Yes. Don't even think about keeping it.
Anytime things are running without electricity and not something you want to keep around the house.
No, not at all.
I did have the electromagnetic stuff is always interesting to me though, as far as what is triggered by it and the and I'm not saying that that was this case by any means, but I had a toy once. It was one of my daughter's toys. It was one of those puzzles where you put like the fire engine in the thing and then it makes the fire engine noise. I think it was like a Melissa and Doug toy. And it wasn't, it ran on batteries. It was just something that was like in the toy box. But every time it would just kind of go off at random and nobody was touching the toy. Nobody's playing with the toy. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what is doing this? Why is this happening? Because it always would seem to happen at a certain area I'd be in the house. And I discovered what it was happening when I turned a certain light switch on, it triggered the toy.
Ah.
This thing's not plugged into anything, though. So it's something about the energy of that electricity, that circuit being turned on. And then whatever that is, I don't know what that's called, but the electricity flowing through the house, just something kind of triggered the magnet in that toy. And that very specific part of the toy, because it could do 20 different sounds, that one would be the one that got triggered. Now, what is that? I don't know. But there are things like that, are there not, where when it comes to electricity, if things are kind of off or things aren't insulated correctly, those sort of things can also not only trigger things, but can also mess with people mentally, correct?
Yeah. If you've got a lot of electromagnetic field in your house, if you've got a lot of stray energy rolling around because you've got old wiring or bad wiring or bad junction points, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you're susceptible to that, I mean, that can not only create a fear cage for you, which is basically make you feel like you're feeling things and seeing things, but you can actually break out in rashes from that stuff.
Wow.
It depends on how high that is. And in some old houses, some of that can get really, really high. So there is that. Plus, whenever it comes to like electronic devices, even, I mean, you've worked in radio. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about one time we were getting truckers talking over the equipment in the studio and stuff like that. If you're a lay person, you just don't understand enough about that. So when somebody says they have something happen with electrical equipment and they think it's paranormal, my first thing is it probably isn't. It's probably something else that we as lay people don't understand. Bring in an electrician, they'll figure it out. But in this case, if she unplugged that darn thing, unless there was a battery backup on it or something like that, it should never have gone off. And I think all of us can understand that.
Yeah. The most it would be able to do is, I remember all the old radios and stuff, if it was unplugged, you could turn it on and maybe for like 0.5 of a second, you're going to get a little bit of juice that's left in it and then it's done. But even that is not common anymore. But no, that's a very interesting story. I want to talk about Casey Kasem for a second. And this is not a promotion for this other show, but shows often do advertise on here. But I just want to talk about this because a friend of mine, who sent this to me? You didn't send it to me, did you?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think who sent. There's a new podcast coming out about Casey Kasem. I think maybe Carol sent it to me.
Okay.
And it's called Kasem versus Kasem. And it's going to be, it features people, some of the family, talking about his final days and how screwed up everything was and how
I think his daughter, Carrie, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Who is a radio host is doing this because she's the one who fought very hard for him in his last days against his wife at the time.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a 7-part documentary series, I believe. I think it's on Audible. I think Audible is only where, I don't know. Audible, I know for sure. I don't know where else it's going to be released, but I'm excited about it because I loved Casey Kasem. So this should, and I believe there's like a TV docuseries in the works too on it. So isn't the wife is still alive, isn't she? The one that had all these accusations against her?
I think so. And I mean, and again, they are accusations, whatever.
Yeah.
But if what went down is what has been told went down, there was some nasty stuff to poor Casey, you know, and where was his body after he died? What was going on before he died? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for someone like me, I was a huge Casey Kasem fan. I know he's not the perfect person in the world, but when it came to radio, everybody wanted to be as cool as Casey when you were growing up.
Sure.
This guy was the guy. Mm-hmm. And so to hear that he went through this later on in life was really, really sad for me. And so you're right. The podcast is going to be great, I think.
I'm excited about it. Yeah. I mean, it was such a sad ending. Because what was the deal with the body? That was weird, too, where like he was dead, but like nobody knew where the body was for like half a year or something.
Yeah. They were trying to find it. And I think there's allegations she took it out of the country or I don't know what the hell happened, but my gosh.
How do you do that? I mean, it's just like such an extreme thing. And it's Casey. It's like Weekend at Bernie's had like the Casey Kasem edition or something. You just go somewhere in there. You got like, oh, there's Casey being propped up by the pool now. It's so messed
somebody
up.
Please get my body and put me in the ground.
I would like to go into the ground right after this long-distance dedication. I'm Casey Kasem on American Top 40.
Keep your feet on the ground and watch out for your wife. I'm Casey Kasem.
She might just steal your body and hide it in another country. More after this.
Casey's countdown.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. What was better, the Westwood version of Casey's countdown, or the when he went back to American Top 40 on, I think it was AMF and then Premiere, or what? I think Premiere ran it, didn't they?
Premiere did. AMFM became Premiere. Yeah. Who was it before Westwood One?
Casey's countdown was on Westwood One. Man, yeah. There was like a dispute over the name of American Top 40. I think Shadow Steele or Stevens or somebody was doing it.
Yeah.
And then it went back, and then Casey went and started doing American Top 40 again. And it was basically the same show for the most part.
Basically. But if you ever get that early stuff from the 70s, like he kicked it off on July 4th, 1973, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to listen to that stuff, man, that is just slick.
I can find those records. I find sometimes in antique stores, the radio records, you know, were please dispose after this, all those CDs that we would get years later. In my office here, I actually have the American Top 40 Casey Kasem anniversary CD that he signed. I think we got that back in the day. I think I got that with you back in the day at Sunny.
Sure, you kifed that from my desk someplace.
I think you weren't there anymore. I think it was somebody else I took it from. Because I wouldn't steal.
Listen, even when I'm not there, I'm still there, damn it.
I wouldn't have stolen from you, but I think I stole from the guy who came after you.
All right, that's okay. He sucked anyway.
I know. I agree. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, my name's Terry, and I'm a new EPP, so I thought I would call in and tell the stories, one that's still bothers me today, and I was hoping to get your feedback on it. About 15 years ago, my husband and I lived in our first small house, and I wouldn't say it was haunted, but there were a few little things that happened there. But one thing did happen that really terrified me. I guess you would call it sleep paralysis, from what I've heard and read about, but I don't know. At any rate, it was one morning in the early kind of dawn light, and as I was kind of waking up, I felt a presence kind of next to me, and not in a good way. And as I became aware of it, I started to look to the side of the bed where it was to my right, and I felt this searing pain in my stomach, and it was like the only thing I can liken it to was when I was a kid. I was going to put something in a light socket, and my finger accidentally touched the prong as it went into the socket, and it looked like this bolt of electricity. It felt like a ball going up my arm, and I quickly let go of it. But that's the only thing I can think of to explain what I was feeling. It was like going into my stomach and radiating through my limbs, and I was kind of shaking, and I thought I was going to die. I mean, I believed that I was going to die. And then I heard this kind of voice, but it was not outside of me. It was more inside of me, and I know it wasn't my own thoughts, because I wouldn't have thought of that, because I was panicking and thinking I was going to die. But it said, whatever you do, don't look to your right, because I was trying, I was kind of frozen, I was wanting to open my eyes. It said, whatever you do, don't look to the right. So it was one of those things that, you know, you think somebody tells you not to do something and you can't help yourself, you do it anyway. I knew better. I knew not to do that. So I didn't. And then it kept going on. And this went on for, of course, it seemed like an eternity to me, but I kept thinking, is this going to stop? And I was aware of this. I knew it had to be this thing, whatever it was, I couldn't see and didn't want to look at, turn to look at, was doing this to me. And it was getting worse. And I thought, well, here, I'm going to die. And, you know, my husband was in the room. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die here. And he's never going to know what happened to me. I couldn't figure out what was happening. And I was so scared. And all of a sudden, this, whatever it was, my thought process, or it seemed like another voice, but again, it wasn't audible. It was within me, said, say the Lord's Prayer. So I did. I started saying the Lord's Prayer, and it stopped immediately. And I felt like it was gone, that there was nothing there, and the pain stopped, and I was sitting there breathing heavily and just feeling like I was exhausted and still just scared to death. I was scared to move. I was scared to, you know, and I had to open my eyes, and I just looked straight up at the ceiling. I didn't want to move a muscle for a little, so I kind of got some idea of what the hell had just happened to me. And in fact, my voice didn't even work. I was wanting to call for my husband, but my voice wouldn't even work. And so I just kind of laid there. I felt like I'd been just like a dish rag. I mean, just no energy, no nothing. But then after, I think I just fell back asleep later on, because I didn't want to move from that spot for a while, and I didn't know what else to do. And I for whatever reason, either I was too terrified or I couldn't speak. So I just fell back asleep and slept for a few more hours. And then when I got up, I looked around, there was nothing around, and I went in and talked to my husband. I'm like, you won't believe what happened to me. And I told him about it. He was just, I mean, I he believed me, but I, you know, what do you say? Something like that. But I'm interested in hearing your thoughts about that. If you've had anybody else that has experienced anything like that, I know I kind of looked that up, and sleep paralysis is the only thing I can come up with, but it was the weirdest experience, and it was terrifying at the time, and I've never forgotten it. So nothing has happened. I mean, I never had any episode of a sleep paralysis type thing before that, and I've never had anything like that since. So if you could shed some light on that, I would appreciate it. Thank you, and I enjoy your show very much. I'm glad I found it. And again, I'm an EPP member, so I'm just newly, and I'm so excited to hear the other episodes. Thank you. Bye.
I gotta say, she described exactly what I had happened to me one time as well. And she
I was gonna say, didn't you have like an episode just like that?
Exactly like it. I have not heard anyone in all the years of doing this show describe it the way she did, to be as similar as it felt to me. And she described it like electricity. I totally get that. I totally get what she's, because almost like, you know, static electricity feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just a very low voltage is what it felt like. It felt like, but I always described it as like a cloud going through me, whatever that means. But it felt like, because I sat up and then I had the feeling exactly what she described. And you just don't know what to do, and you're paralyzed and you can't move, but you feel it's like this low voltage feeling that you're just shaking and you can't do anything. And then when it's done, it's just like, oh shit. And I knew not to open my eyes. I don't know why, but I didn't. And I did the same thing. I just ended up going back to sleep, and I didn't want to move from that position. I was so freaked out by it, though. Never had it happen again. I've never had sleep paralysis any other time in my life, and I don't know that it even was sleep paralysis, because I did sit up before this thing happened. It wasn't like I was just laying there in bed and couldn't move. I moved, and then it happened. It's just similar to her, too. So it's a freaky, weird feeling, and you don't know what... I didn't know if I was like having a aneurysm, or because you're starting to think, you know, is there something mentally going wrong with you or physically going wrong with your body? And it was just the weirdest thing. This happened, God, I was 18 when that happened. So,
wow, that's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on this program with me, you've told the story of that. Yeah. And when she was talking about it, I'm going, God, I think, like, I felt like I had heard the story before. And I thought, I think Tony's the one who told me it.
Yeah.
And it's weird because maybe it's sleep paralysis. I don't know. Maybe it's not. And then my mind starts to go crazy. Like, what if there's this energy or entity or something like that? Like, it was on the verge of determining whether or not you're going to be around, or if it was your time, and that's what happens right before, and for some other reason they kind of walked away from you at that point.
Okay, I got to visit the Grim Reaper for a moment.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I mean, because it's so similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has, you know, there's ailments that we all have, but everybody has just a little bit different experience with it. This is just so close. And the part of it that hit home for me was when I have a really crappy dream, it's really, really, really scary. Mm-hmm. I always end it by starting to say the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not a religious person, but for whatever reason, that protects me in my dream from whatever is going on. So I understood that part of it from her.
I do the same thing, and I'm not a religious person either, but it's like, well, when all bets are off, I guess I'll go down this route. Like, if we're going to start dealing with demon shit, why not?
Yeah, I don't believe in you any other day, but I'll go ahead and use your name now just to protect myself.
Right now, this will be good. But no, I know. She did a great job describing that. So there you go. You're not alone, ma'am, in sharing that story. It happened to me. And it's been one of those things I have wondered about for, you know, almost 20 some years. You know, what was that? You know, what I ended up doing was I ended up having dinner with Chad Lewis and some other paranormal guys in Wisconsin. And they're the ones who kind of initially enlightened me on what sleep paralysis was, but also were kind of on the fence, like if it actually was sleep paralysis. But they're like, you know, you're describing components of it, but there's elements that are not that too, but that's like the closest thing we could say maybe. But it was a weird experience. And to this day, it's still the number one thing I bring up. If anybody ever says, you know, tell me a ghost story that you have, that's usually the one I go to. That and the radio station. I think I've told this one with you, haven't I? Where I heard the keys going down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where I thought it was our news director and there was nobody there. Those are the two, I think, most clear, weird experiences that I've had in real time. I guess, you know, getting those shadow people we were talking about earlier on camera was pretty cool. But that I didn't realize till reviewing the material after the fact.
Right. No, she did a great job explaining it. I felt that whole thing the entire way through.
Yeah. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. And thank you for supporting the show and being an EPP. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. You want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus material, advanced episodes, the archive. It's all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.